Boring sex sucks, but it doesn't have to feel like a chore. I'm Lisa Welsh, a sex and pleasure educator, and I help people to have more fun in and out of the bedroom. So you're in the right place if you want to get curious about things that make people blush. Stay tuned for conversations about sex, confidence, body acceptance, steamy techniques, relationships, dating, and more. There is one rule I ask you to follow as you listen to this podcast. Trust your instincts and disregard everything else. Nobody knows what feels good to you better than you do. Nope, not even me. So yes, I might suggest new things to try, but in order for you to enjoy them, you must first feel safe and supported. Why? Because sex is both wonderful and unpredictable. It can be amazing, and it can also be triggering. Discovering what you like and learning to trust yourself are the keys to a hotter sex life. So start here and now. Life is too short for mediocre sex. So follow the things that light you up and leave the rest. In today's episode, we'll be discovering the self-love secrets of a Las Vegas showgirl. Athena Pataxel shares her story from ballerina to Vegas showgirl to motherhood and how she learns to give herself permission to do the things that light her up. Listen out for her tips around a glamour anchor. That was one of my absolute highlights. Plus, she had a lot of advice about feathers. This is a really great conversation. Athena went deep. I can't wait to share it with you. Let's do this. Welcome back to In Bed with Lisa. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Athena Pataxel. It is 4 a.m. where she is. This is like super early stuff, but she has got up to share this conversation with you. You're going to be delighted. She is a former Las Vegas showgirl who is now dedicated to helping women live their most sensational lives. Hi, Athena. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everybody.
Welcome. I'm so excited for this. I mean, we could have just spoken for so long already in the intro. I was like, let's press record. Stuff coming out. And what we're going to be talking today about is self-love secrets from a Las Vegas showgirl. So please, Athena, would you give us a little bit of insight into like how you've got into this and how can we learn to love ourselves through what you have learned on being on stage?
Well, where do I start?
Good question.
It's been a long journey. Yeah, I've been on this strange journey. I was a showgirl, believe it or not. I walked onto that stage 22 years ago. And it was after I was a ballerina. So I had been in this very like classically trained, very disciplined life. Mm-hmm. And I grew too tall. It's the age old story of all the bluebell dancers. So if anyone in your audience has heard of bluebell dancers, they're a famous troupe that was created by Madame Bluebell from the UK. And she created this troupe, and she had little groups of them all over the world because they were the best.
Okay.
Everyone wanted the best. They came to Las Vegas in 1958. So I come from a long line of tall, leggy, beautifully trained classic like ballerinas. And I walked onto that stage, and that was when my life completely changed. I became this glamour queen, and it was a completely different life than anything I had. I had gone from a place of self loathing, looking at myself in the mirror and hating myself every day, because when you're a ballerina, you're rehearsing 40 hours a week and you're literally in front of the mirror, just hating yourself, or at least that was my experience. And then of course you have the directors, lose 5 pounds, and all of those mind games. And I did that for about, I did my whole training through until I was 18, and then, 2.5 seasons with Nevada Ballet Theater. Believe it or not, there is a ballet company in Las Vegas. And one of the guys came in and was like, you need to go to the show. And at first I was like, why would I want to be a showgirl? But I went, and I was like, took this, you know, massive step into the next chapter of my life. And I spent 5 years in the show and embodying this, you know, as we were talking earlier, the showgirl archetype every night. And then I made a decision to leave. I don't know why, it just felt like right. But 3 weeks after I left the show, I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, became a mom, totally put the showgirl in the closet for almost a decade. And it wasn't until 2012 when I was like, what? Something's not right. There was this like gaping void right here. Something wasn't right. And so I started doing yoga, meditation. I just kind of was finding my way on my path. So this is like part of the path to self-love for me was realizing I wasn't being true to myself anymore. And that glamour icon is really like a huge facet of who I am. And so I went on this journey. I completely took my life apart, ended my design career, ended my marriage, and was like, I'm going to find myself again. And so I did. I found myself through burlesque.
Whoa, Athena, wow. What it, like the introduction to your story is like, whoa, because even like the ballerina part of your story, like even like the ballerina is like an archetype. We have an image, a vision of what that is, of what that looks like, of what a ballerina, how they act and what is expected of them. And the transition to showgirl, there's a whole other set of expectations, and both of them are revered, and both of them are like for me, like this untouchable, like, oh, ballerina. I wanted to be a ballerina as a girl. I'm only 4'11". I've got massive boobs. It was never going to happen. I can totally. I also, showgirls, I've got pictures of them all over my house. My kids wonder why there's no pictures of them, but there's showgirls. Like, what is going on? Those two things in themselves. And then it's like you went from one, like, I can't imagine living that archetype, the reality of it, one to the next, to motherhood, which is another whole entire role. And no wonder you kind of felt like, oh, what is going on?
Who am I anyway? Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. It was quite an intense time. And it took a few years to finally like figure out who I am. And at that point I was about, oh gosh, that was 2012. So it was 10 years ago. How old am I now? I'll be 43 this year. So 33, 34. And, you know, the biggest thing that kept pushing me was my responsibility to my daughters. I have two daughters. They're now teenagers. Okay. And I wanted them to be confident. I wanted them to be comfortable in their bodies when they got to that point. So when I left their dad, they were 4 and 7 years old. And of course, my family is like, divorced kids, they have the hardest time. And I was like, I would rather them be with a mother who's fully present, who is being real, being herself all of the time, than this fake life that I was living for those few years. And these girls are so confident. I'm like, I don't know what I did to help them. I mean, this is my office and I'm surrounded by glamour and feathers. These are all costumes I've made. And I've just basically allowed them to be whatever they want to be. And so I have one very goth girl, black eyeliner, thick black eyeliner, black lips, and teased, like 80s teased hair. And then the other one is like very hippie nature child. So they're embodying different archetypes. It's just fun to watch, but they feel comfortable and safe to be themselves. And that's just like the greatest thing I could have ever taught them was just be yourself.
So
and love yourself enough. That was the message I basically had to learn was you have to love yourself enough to do what you need to do to be yourself and live your best life.
Wow. Gosh, Athena, thank you for sharing that. And I actually resonate with a lot of what you've said. Parts of our journeys are similar, that I also left a marriage and like dismantled that whole image of what I had built and had to admit that it wasn't real. Like I wasn't being real. Like it's so much guilt involved in that. My children were very similar age too. Like you're like breaking up a happy life. And it looks very, very selfish from the outside, right? It takes a lot of courage to do that. So yeah, I can just admire that in you, the strength. And I think that very thing that you did there is what has given permission to your daughters. So
exactly, the permission, that's a huge piece. I I feel people need to do. They need to give themselves permission, not get permission from anyone else, because we do. We all, most of us who have birthed a child, have that mother archetype and what society tells us mothers are supposed to dress like, be like, behave like, look like. It's not a fun it's not a fun time for us, we know, in this patriarchy. And I think the energy is shifting. I feel it.
So tell us then, from all of this craziness that you went through, like, what could you tease out as lessons for us, for everyday people who are just trying to learn how to like bring more fun and juiciness or be ourselves? Like, it's not easy, right? When we're in a role and we're just going through our daily chores and we're just repeating the same thing all the time. And we kind of have that hole in us too. Like, what can we do?
Yeah. So it, like I said, it starts with permission. and that was the biggest thing I learned in 2020. You know, I decided on 12/31/2019 that I was going to stop drinking. I didn't realize I was self-soothing and numbing with the wine and the beer. I love IPAs. I love whiskey. But, oh, just the smell. I'm just like, oh. But I just decided cold turkey, like, I'm just going to stop drinking. We're going to try this and see how it goes. And I realized that I was numbing and I wanted to feel all of the things. And that's really when I went on this very deep self-love journey. I went down deep and I realized I had to reparent myself. And I had to learn different ways to parent. And I'm, you know, still in this process. It's like a lifelong journey. I think everyone, hopefully, who's already here on this journey knows it's just, we don't ever get there and get the diploma that says you love yourself now. it's just, it's a process. It's a journey. It's enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. And so in 2020 was when I really dove deep and realized that I needed a lot more permission and space and more self-love. And so that's where I realized that a lot of the women that I work with, they just needed that. I needed that myself when I was 20. I need the permission. And I don't remember how that happened. Maybe I had that support of those ballerina friends that were like, you'd be an amazing showgirl. But I had help. I had support to go from this very disciplined, very like composed, you know, ballerina archetype to, it's still a very composed, but it's more sexual. There's more zhuzh and sensuality in there, which I wasn't allowed to do on a ballet stage, but the Las Vegas stage was perfect for it. So, yeah. So I had to get back to that. That's basically, I was like, I'm getting back to that energy, not as I was like to regress, but to expand that again, to expand that. And I had to give myself permission to do that. So that's where I take people first, is the permission, because I had to give myself permission to do that. When I started burlesque, you have my permission to be sexy. You have my permission to be a sexual creature. I couldn't even have sex with my former husband because for some reason I got it in my head, moms don't do that. Okay. I don't know where it came from, but moms don't do that. So we didn't have a great sex life. It was gone. And moms don't have sex. Moms don't dress like that. It was interesting. Like, I don't know where it came from, but it was there. And so I had to like dismantle those things and then use mantras I didn't realize that I created, but I have these mantras and these are the steps. And then once you get into that self-love, then you can get back to expressing yourself the way you did. You started to when you were younger. I think that from the time about 8 years old, 7 to 8 years old to the time we hit puberty was our like golden time where if we were nurtured and brought up nicely, we didn't have any sexual trauma or anything like that. We went into our adolescence in an easier way, but I don't think that's everyone's experience. It definitely wasn't mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's what I try to do for my children, is to have a very nurturing, loving attachment with them. And then they can, you know, branch off and feel safe to express themselves however they want. Mm. And so that's kind of the journey I take my people on, is that first we have to start here in our core, and then we go and we start to grow and express however we want. We don't have to wear feathers and rhinestones all day, every day. We don't have to wear eyelashes every day. I choose to because it's part of my, I call it a glamour anchor.
Okay.
And so I put red lips and lashes on and I darken my eyebrows. That's my makeup every day. And I immediately, like I stand differently. I walk differently. And I feel like I'm tapping just enough into the showgirl that I can show up. Wow. You know,
yeah. So love that idea. So yeah, we all have a different glamour anchor, do you think?
Yes. Yes. For some women, it is stilettos. Stilettos is part of mine, but not all the time because I just don't want to wear heels all the time. Yeah. I'm pretty much like a more comfortable, it's more of the mother archetype I have. They battle it out often,
okay,
but having this around me reminds me you have to feed your goddess. So I go on date nights. I do play dress up, not as often as I'd like, because it's just like working out. You have to get there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just can't get there because I expend so much energy when I play dress up because I'm like performing. Wow. And it's not for anybody else except for myself, for the mirror. And it's so funny because people probably think I'm selfish, but I do. I look at myself in the mirror a lot, and that's where a lot of it's an exercise in my ebook is, you know, looking in the mirror and playing with yourself and, and doing it's just for me.
Yes.
And I don't look at myself to pick myself apart like I used to.
Yeah.
And I attribute that to this entire path from being a showgirl and then doing burlesque, because burlesque, it came back as a body positivity thing.
Mm.
And I was dancing with women who were double my weight and very curvy and really big boobs. And I was like, all right, this is great. And they're beautiful and they're sexy. And so it added to what the showgirl taught me is that. So, you know, I was inspired by that for what is mostly being taught in burlesque. So if you take a burlesque workshop, even pole classes, they do the same thing. It's all about body positivity and loving yourself. And I think that we just need to give ourselves permission, first of all, that we deserve to love ourselves and have the same love that we have for ourselves as we have for other women that we admire and look up to.
That's a powerful one. That really is a powerful one. So you think that being in the presence of all of these other women who are being sexy and who are shattering what you'd been told to look like when you first came into the world of dancing, these women were like the other end of the scale, and you could see how fabulous they were. So, I mean, that is so healing in itself, right? And seeing yourself as being there right next to them, equally fabulous, like you're on the stage together. So what how was it being on stage? Like, did being on stage help you on your journey, or did it make it more difficult? Or what was that part of your journey like?
So I am a born performer. It took me a while to get out of my shell. I'm very, like, I used to be very quiet, introverted, and shy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm fine. I did a rideshare. I was a rideshare driver for 2 years. And so I really came out of my shell talking and being able to, like, converse with people. So that was another part of the journey is just talking to people, just expressing myself verbally. But on stage, from the time I was about 11 or 12 years old, even in my astrological chart, all of my signs, the majority of them are between 9 and 12 degrees. And I think that signifies that that was a very important time in my life, those years. And that was when I was a competition dancer and I would compete. And at the time, my love used to be lyrical modern, which is now called contemporary dance.
Okay, yes.
And I could emote on stage. And so I took that, and I wasn't able to be that in the ballet world. I wasn't able to like be those mm. things, because I had to have, my technique had to be perfect. Mm. And it wasn't until I got to the stage at Jubilee where I could really just like shine and just zhuzh and just let it all out. And, you know, 2 shows a night, 12 shows a week. That was, it was rigorous. It wasn't easy wearing these heavy hats and backpacks and things, but I lost that ability to like express myself, because I was mom. I had to be mom to be this way. And you had to be disciplined like the ballerina. It was really weird. Like she took over again. Mm. And it wasn't until I did burlesque again, and I was able to make my own costumes and pick my own music, do my own choreography, that it was just like, now I'm opening up and expressing even more. Exactly. Like this. Yeah, exactly. And so yeah, burlesque was a gift mm. in that way, to tap back into that self-expression.
And what would you say to a woman who feels like she doesn't know what she has to express, like somebody who's not had an opportunity to express themselves, and they may think like, what even is it about me? I haven't been a ballerina. I haven't been a dancer. Like, what do I even have to express? Where do I start? Do I need to put on a hat with feathers? Like, what do I do?
It is different for everybody, because like you said, we each have a different glamour anchor. And some of us aren't even into glamour. It could be anything that makes us, whatever makes us more, feel more confident. So for me, it's feathers and sparkles. So for someone else, I did listen to the one episode you had about the Dom. Okay. So it might be leather or latex for her. Yeah. And, you know, it could be anything. And what you have to do, and what I did in that early, those early days of separating from my husband and then like basically dismantling the life, was just trying new things. Mm-hmm. So that's where burlesque happened. I went to see a show with friends, and I stood up at the end of that show and I said, I'm going to be on that stage. I made this decision. Yeah. 6 months to the day, I was performing my first show on that stage.
Oh my word. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy. So I didn't need the training that most people do when they go through burlesque, and I didn't need that. I just needed permission.
Yeah.
Gave myself permission, made the decision. And then I just pursued. How do I get on that stage? You audition for the Colorado Burlesque Festival. And that's when so it was just like, it was so crazy. It was 6 months to the day. And I was like, I cannot believe I'm auditioning during a live show. I opened the show. Yeah. It was like the most unbelievable experience, but wow. He could tell, the producer could tell I had years of dance training.
Like, I must have been delighted when you walked in like, hi, I'm curious. I just happen to have all of these years of classical training and all of these years of showgirl performing. Do you think I could join? Yeah,
that's pretty much kind of how it happened. And I performed in that club for about 5 years.
You know, I think that if I could like condense what you're saying here, this is what I think are your secrets, okay? That starts off by giving yourself permission to break the rules that you have set or the world has set, but whatever rules you're following, give yourself permission to break them, and then get curious about what lights you up, but anything that like has a little spark for you, anything that triggers your interest. And then if it does trigger your interest, go all in and like really give it a go, have fun until it's not fun anymore, and then find something else. Does that sound right?
That sums up my life completely.
And it's just different chapters. It's so feminine, isn't it? It's like the essence of the feminine flow and going where feels good. Because when you get trapped in those rules that don't fit you anymore, or you get trapped doing something that you thought was the right thing, or it was the right thing at that time, but is not anymore, if you don't give yourself permission, like it's a constant permission, then you get stagnant, you get bitter and resentful. And we've all seen women like that. That's one of the reasons I left my marriage. I knew that's what was happening for me. You know, it's one of the reasons that I also changed things up. I was telling you earlier, I just changed my mind and I'd get rid of that. And here's why I suddenly shaved my head the other day. Like, it just give yourself permission, do what is listen to what is pulling you and follow it and keep following it, keep on doing it, evolve and grow, right?
Exactly. And then one thing that I didn't realize that I don't know if it's a superpower of mine or if it's just that I, being a performer helped me through, but a lot of people think they can't change their circumstances or their situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that was why the pandemic was really hard for people, because they thought it was like, all of a sudden it was like, we changed. We were like, we are not going back to this world anymore. And I think people think we're still going back, but we're not. Energetically, we're definitely not. But I think that people don't think that they are allowed to change, that they have to, because they went to school for this career or whatever, that they're not allowed to. My parents spent thousands of dollars on me, on my ballet training. I went to Russia when I was 16 years old and I studied with the Bolshoi Ballet, full scholarship for semester. So there was a part of me that was like, I can't go be a showgirl because I have to be a ballerina. I have to do this because, you know, I think it's called sunk cost. Mm-hmm. And we think that but it's all part of the journey, that ballerina, that core that I had helped me as a showgirl. And then that core that I developed as a showgirl helped me in burlesque. Give yourself permission to be able to change, to try something new and be curious. Being curious is like the key. You may have shoved that down for a while because we are, a lot of us, living in a people-pleasing society and just bending to everyone else's whims. It's time to bend to your whims. That's what I think.
Bend to your whims. I love it. That's kind of saucy.
I mean, I have all these showgirl costumes, not because I actually used them on stage. I mean, that was a bonus. This has never been worn on stage. I just wanted to have showgirl costumes. So I talked to the guy who used to refurbish the costumes in the show. He taught me how to make them. I started making showgirl costumes.
Oh, wow. I love it, because like you said, it's your glamour anchor. That's when you feel like you can really embody that. And sometimes adorning our bodies does help to get into that frame of mind, right? When you are, especially like you said, you're a busy working mom and you've got all this stuff going on, you're cooking dinner and you're me, like, then it's hard to like reawaken that little aspect that's fun. But adorning your body can be such a quick shortcut to it, right?
Totally. Especially when it's sensual, like feeling. That's why I love ostrich feathers, because they feel and they flow and they move. It's so feminine to me. You know, we live in such a masculine world and I have a lot of masculine energy. I'm very assertive. I took the first step with my love. I was just like, I asked him out and then I kissed him first. And, you know, I have a lot of masculine energy, but when I'm on stage or when I'm in our lovemaking, I'm very feminine and I receive and I flow. So yeah, it's just finding that balance. And again, being curious, do you have more femininity in you or more masculine? Which one do you want to amplify? And that's what my coaching is about, is amplifying those parts of you that you maybe repress. And like you said, you're busy, you're cooking dinner. You don't have time to be wearing an ostrich boa and having a little dance party. Maybe you can.
I don't know, ostrich feathers in the pasta. It's like, you know.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then the good thing about ostrich is they don't shed as much as like the shitty turkey boas. So if you can splurge on an ostrich boa, maybe start small and then work your way up. They started about $120, I think, on Amazon.
But I love that this is not like the self-love of get in a bubble bath, paint your nails. This is like really gritty and like ostrichy. I love it.
it's way more playful. Like, yes, I do need a bath to recharge, but I'm not going to have bubbles. I do have candles because I'm kind of witchy, but it's adding more sensuality to the self-care fanfare. Mm-hmm. I did an experiment and it only lasted about a week to 10 days, but I put on songs that helped me tap into that showgirl energy and move and that the days that I had during that little experiment, I was like, oh, I need way more sensuality in my life.
I feel like we could talk for hours. You've just got so much energy and fun. Oh my goodness. So, okay, let me just gather up the lessons. Okay, I'm just going to gather up all of this wisdom into, we've said, give yourself permission to break down the rules, even if you built them yourself, right? Get curious, have fun. And if in doubt, choose ostrich feathers.
Done.
I have to tell you, I've got one of those shitty turkey boas and I keep it in a plastic, like a clear plastic bag, because and it never comes out, because the second I take it out, my bedroom is, it looks like I murdered a turkey. It's so cute. Yep. It's also very messy. And, you know, that is not always what I have time for. Picking up ostrich feathers is not my pleasure space. I mean, turkey feathers.
Yeah, I know. And you got to hand it to the burlesque girls, how they make the turkey look like it feels so good, because it really doesn't. It's poking you. And even playing the silk scarf and just like letting it drape and touch you and you know, like we used to do as little girls, and twirl with the fabric, doing things like that. It helps us just go right into that feminine energy.
Yes, Athena, put on the music. Get a silk scarf, play around in front of the mirror if you want to. You can add a mirror in, like you said. Oh, wow. Oh, you got so much gold to share. So please tell us, Athena, where can people find you online and how can they work with you?
Okay. So my website is showgirls.life, www.showgirls.life. And I do have a YouTube channel. Working with me, I have a signature program right now. It's just the Sensational Selfie System. And it just basically teaches you how to take sexy selfies and to play. And then, of course, I have my coaching program, which is Amplify You. And then I have the Amplify You podcast. And it's all about self-love. Mm-hmm. And it's six episodes. It's a two-hour audio training with a 40-page ebook. And I think we just need more self-love so that we can tap into more of our feminine, our divine feminine energy.
Oh, amazing, Athena. Thank you so much. I will put all of these links in the show notes so that everybody can come and find you. Thank you again, Athena, for sharing your journey with us, for sharing your secrets and just being so open. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you today.
It's been so fun. Thank you for having me.
See, I told you that Athena was going to educate you about feathers. So what was your biggest takeaway today? Let me know. Why not take a screenshot of you listening to this and share it in your Instagram stories? Tag me so that I can give you a reshare, and rate and review if you enjoyed this episode. Today's episode was sponsored by Hera from Herbie Box. Herbie Box designed their Hera Box to reduce period pain and boost menstrual health. Hera provides a self-care experience using herbs to support you through your natural flow. Want to learn more? Join the Pain-Free Period community by Herbie on Facebook to be part of a group of women who believe in taking control of their periods through the goodness of herbs, balanced nutrition, and holistic healing. Search Pain-Free Period community by Herbie on Facebook. I've linked it in the show notes so you can find it there too. Thank you, Herbie Box. I've got a gift for you. It's a free ebook that I created to help people to have more fun in bed, because life is way too short for mediocre sex. So if you'd like to stop faking orgasms and actually enjoy yourself, then check it out. You can find it on my website, inbedwithlisa.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.